Hello and welcome back to the Comic Book Tour Guide Podcast. I am one of your I am the guide, I guess, of this tour, Jesse, he, him pronouns. And with me, as always, is Ashley, who is the person I am guiding around this weird and wacky universe of comic books.
That's me. I use the she, her pronouns.
This week, you can tell from the cold open that we are still figuring out what this show is. We chatted about doing news, and I was thinking about it as I was driving home this morning. If we do news, it's always going to be severely out of date because we don't know when we're releasing episodes yet.
I think that kind of makes it funny.
I do think it makes it funny, and I think it makes it more interesting for what kind of news I pick out, because I think we can find some timeless news. So a couple things. First off, have you seen the new Superman suit logo for the new Superman movie?
I didn't know there was a new Superman movie.
See there? Perfect. Perfect. Let me send you the logo. They just started filming on Superman's, quote unquote birthday, which is Leap Day. Supposedly Superman's birthday is February 29th. And then Captain Marvel picked that day because he copies Superman. That's based off an old DC Comics calendar. But that is the new logo.
All right. It's Superman.
It is a Superman logo. They've changed the name of the movie from Superman Legacy to just Superman. So, yeah. I'm curious. I hope it's good. I think it'll be good, but we'll see.
This is one of the live action ones.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
What's going on with the live action DC movies? I didn't watch The Flash, and I don't care, so I don't know what's going on with the universe.
Don't worry. The Flash has nothing to do with any of it anyways. It's being retooled by James Gunn. He's the head of it now.
It's a name that brings a smile, I think.
Yeah, I think James Gunn's very smart, and he knows what makes comic book movies work. Let me see. Let me find this first slate. They announced the first slate of them called God. They're like, he's, so you know, like the MCU has like phase one and phase two and all that. They're kind of trying to do that too, but they're calling it chapters, and this first chapter is just called Gods and Monsters.
Yeah.
And let me find out what's in this slate, Gods and Monsters slate. So the first official new like DC Universe thing is going to be a thing called Creature Commandos, which is going to be an animated series. And his whole thing is, he wants the voice actors who voice these characters in animation and in video games to be the same actors that play them in live action. We'll see if that actually plays out when it comes to video games. But with the animated shows, I can see that.
Yeah. So wait, is this a new universe?
Brand new universe.
Okay.
Only a few things carry over. Mostly it's his stuff that carries over. So this is the current image of Creature Commandos. It's like a World War II comic where it's just a bunch of monsters fighting in World War II as their own squad. So
I love this style.
Yeah, hopefully that's what it looks like. That's going to be the first thing that comes out this year. Supposedly. We'll see if these dates stay. Then there is an Amanda Waller live action TV series. She is still going to be played by... why can't I remember her name? That is still going to be played by Viola Davis. So that's staying. Then the first movie will be Superman, which is next year. Then there is a Green Lantern TV show, just going to be called Lanterns. Then a movie based off the comic book The Authority, which is going to be weird. Because that's like a DC property in the sense of someone else created it for another comic line, and then DC eventually bought that comic line, so now they just own those characters. Then a Amazonian TV show about the history of Themyscira called Paradise Lost. And then this universe's Batman is going to get a movie called The Brave and the Bold. But the Robert Pattinson Batman is going to be still happening, and James Gunn are calling these Elseworlds series. So there's that Batman series by Matt Reeves. That's an Elseworlds Batman for this universe. So they are using Elseworlds for this. And then there's a couple other things that are supposedly still in development, and those are all going to be Elseworlds things. They're not going to relate to anything James Gunn's doing. He's also doing a Booster Gold live action TV series, a Supergirl movie, and a new Swamp Thing live action TV series.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I think definitely what DC needed was a refresh.
Yeah.
I hope they don't keep much of the old tone of the
movies. I think the only people that they're keeping are like his, like the characters he used in Peacemaker, like John Cena is still going to be in there because they're doing a second season of Peacemaker and a lot of those other actors.
I'm glad DC's looking up now in terms of
live action. I hope it's good. Let's see if Warner Brothers stays alive to do it.
Hopefully.
The other thing I want to bring up is they're releasing, speaking of DC, they're releasing a new line of graphic novels called the DC Finest. They're supposed to be like, hey, you want to know about these characters? Read this book. They're paperback. They're like $30. They're for like, it looks like for about 8 issues. It's not a bad thing, but it is a little confusing, the books that they picked. So for the Batman one, they picked Batman Year 1 and Year 2. Year 1's very good. Year 2's not as good, I think. So I think that's weird. For Superman, they just picked the first 4 issues of Action Comics, it looks like, and then like about the first 4-ish issues of Superman. So like they're going even way more older school. Like this isn't the Superman you would read today at all. This is a Superman that can't fly. So it's very interesting that they're picking that one.
Yeah, very strange.
The Wonder Woman one is a Gail Simone run of Wonder Woman. 2 arcs of that, which again is, it's good, but it's nothing really relevant to the current Wonder Woman. So it's interesting that they're doing that. And then the last one they announced is, speaking of our first episode, The Flash, the original Barry Allen stuff, just a smattering of 8 issues of that. And I think that's okay. That's like a decent one for like getting to know Barry. So,
yeah, but that kind of feels like its main purpose is to sell to people who are already invested.
Yeah. They also announced, sad.
I think a collection of just like, here's where to start would be really good for comics in general.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, I don't understand like why they don't, just pick something more relevant and like, don't pitch this as kind of like a good jumping on point if it's not. At least like if you're going to start from the beginning, start from the very beginning, like make a cheap one with all like the original Batman stories. And it's weird. Cause like Year 1, yeah, it's like the definitive retelling of the origin, but then the Superman one is like, these aren't like, this isn't the Superman people to do with anything. So it's weird. Yeah. it's weird that they're all going at different eras.
Feels like it was put together by too many different people.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe these are just the favorite ones of the publisher right now. This seems like the first like wave of them, so maybe they'll do multiple of these characters. I don't know. They also announced that, and the same thing before we move on to one last story, that Elseworlds books they announced are finally going to come out this year. So new Gotham by Gaslight, new Dark Knights of Steel, new DC versus Vampires, but I probably won't pick that up because that artist is kind of a terrible person from my understanding, so it sucks that they're getting work done. New Batman the Barbarian by Greg Smallwood, that's very exciting. A Green Lantern one and one more Batman one, because DC doesn't have enough Batman books.
Never enough Batman.
Yep. The other thing I find weird is Marvel's also kind of doing something similar when it comes to like, hey, you want to get into comics? You should read these. What they're doing is they're reprinting like iconic issues to get people into them, but they picked really weird stuff again. They picked a 2016 series of Spider-Man Deadpool. Not a bad series, but just really weird. I don't know. Then they picked the second issue of the newest Thor run, which, why? Why the second issue?
I don't understand how well it sold the first time.
Yeah, and then they picked Miss Marvel, the New Mutant. So it's like her rebirth into being a mutant, which is, again, a very recent thing that happened. So I don't know. It just doesn't make a super lot of sense to me that this is where you want people to jump on, but go for it. Do your thing.
The comics are famous for not making very much sense. So yeah.
Especially fair with enough. Publishers. So you asked me to pick an Elseworlds book for this episode, and the one I picked is one of my favorites. It's a really interesting concept. It's all done by the old school comic creator John Byrne, who I will not defend as a person today, but as some, like an old school kind of how I grew up reading comics, I think his a lot of his older stuff is very cool. A little too into himself at times, but he's a bit of a cranky old man in the nicest way of saying that, but he's kind of a terrible person now. The older he gets, the more he has opinions about bad things. So I will not give John Byrne the light of day of saying like he's a great guy. I just think some of the comics he has made is very good, and they're ones I grew up with, so I have a weird affinity for them. This one in particular, I think, has aged decently overall. It's called Superman and Batman Generations. I'll send you the cover right now so you can see it.
Oh, I've not heard of this one at all.
The premise of this one is, so there's three series. The first one, they're all three kind of the same story, but it's the idea of what if these characters aged normally from the day they premiered in actual comics. So this first run is like, let me find out the years that this one goes for Superman, Batman Generations. So it goes from, let's see, 1939 all the way to 2019. So like it lets you see all these different eras of these heroes and kind of like where they're at in their ages. What's fun is Generations 2 kind of fills in gaps between Generations 1. So the eras that it doesn't cover, he covers more area there. So you can learn about more of these different characters that you don't get to spend a ton of time with. And then Generations 3 is every issue jumps 100 years. So you start from the 20th century and you end in the 30th century. So I think it's a very fun kind of gimmick, and it makes for interesting characters. Like, how does Batman continue on when Bruce is in his 70s, or how does Superman like age normally around people who aren't aliens, and how does he keep his identity up like that? Things like that.
So when was this published?
So the original was published, let me see here. The first series was published in 1999. The second series was published in 2001, and the third series was published in 2004. So right around the time John Byrne stopped doing main comics.
Yeah, so this is a pre Dark Knight movie influenced version of Batman.
Oh yeah,
that was my main, like, which versions are we kind of jumping off from?
You're getting a lot of he's doing like the smart thing with incorporating different eras of Batman into this and Superman to make it work. The thing is, it's who is under the costume. So like, it starts, I'll send you this first image. It starts back when they first premiered. So it's a very like pulpy Rocketeer era feeling thing. And I love this image that I sent you because Bruce, that's Bruce right there. And he's talking to someone named Julia, who is the original person he was engaged to way back in like early Detective Comics. Like Bruce had a fiance named Julia, and that was like a story arc. And no one brings her up. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I've never heard of this woman before in my life.
Yeah. And you can see, like, that costume he's wearing in that first issue when it's doing, like, 1939. Like, it's the original costume. It has the big ears. It has the gloves, things like that. Like, he's doing that style, which is cool.
I love that costume, by the way. Yeah. Like, it does not get enough credit. Everyone I've ever seen talk about it is like, oh, this is goofy. It's like, no, that would be terrifying. I fucking love this costume.
I think original Detective Comics stuff is very cool pulp noir that slowly gets kind of edged off as they go. And I like that first issue a lot because it is very much like this is a pulpy story of them fighting a giant robot, trying to figure out who the Ultra Humanite is, which is a random bad guy. And like in the background, Lex Luthor's doing stuff. Batman and Superman haven't met each other. They're meeting each other for the first time. And Superman's like, you are like a demon. What are you? Like, it's very cool stuff. The next issue opens up with like the more Silver Age costumes of everybody. And you have like a really cool looking classic Joker. Lois is pregnant and you can kind of see like the characters are slowly aging, which is fun. You also like Batman is eventually married to, I believe, Selena Kyle in this. Like they actually go through with it in this Elseworlds. And so in that second issue, Lex wants to expose Superman to gold kryptonite, which is supposedly going to strip him away of his powers. But Batman and Robin help thwart that. But he somehow at some point exposes Lois to gold kryptonite during that and gives their unborn daughter powers. So that's how, like, they don't, the super kids don't get powers because Superman's their dad. They get powers because of finagling from the bad guys.
I would not want to feel that baby's kick.
Yeah.
That would be horrifying.
At some point, Bruce gets ready to retire and Dick's kind of moved on from being Robin. So he comes back to become Batman for Bruce. And as you see there, that blonde Robin that I sent you, that is Bruce Jr. That is Selena and his kid. So Bruce Jr. becomes
Robin. I've never heard of this kid either.
Yeah. I mean, they don't exist in the main comics like this. They're, none of them. It's a fun way to kind of...
A golden-haired Robin should be making the rounds as a meme. Yeah. Because this looks cursed. I hate it.
And here's all three of them together later on, when like another 10 years later. So this is Bruce with the gray hair, Dick in the Batman costume, and then a little older Bruce Jr. So I think this is like a very fun dynamic that you have here. There's also Joker's gotten much older, and there's rumors that Joker's had a kid and they're trying to chase down this kid, but it turns out it's all been like one giant prank for Joker to try to kill Batman. So at one point he catches Dick and Dick gets killed by the Joker, and Bruce Jr. finds it, but they can't let on that Batman's dead. So when he brings Dick out, he says, no, I'm now Batman. The Joker just killed Robin. So now it's Bruce Jr. is Batman at this point.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bummer that Dick Grayson gets killed off, but it's very interesting because you get in, I'll spoil a little bit of the second one from my memory. You get one storyline between these decades with the Joker where he's starting to lose his mind. He has like some kind of weird dementia thing, and he's haunted by Dick's ghost, basically mentally, of the haunting of killing him. And it's a very interesting story. During this time, I think it's what do they call? I can't remember who they call. Does it say the name here? No, but Clark and Lois's daughter becomes Superwoman, and she wears a black wig because she's also blonde. And Bruce Jr. and her have a relationship; like they're gonna get married.
All right.
So, yeah, I like that costume.
I might have had a small coughing fit during that silence. Okay. I was like, I can get away with it. No, I couldn't.
No, you're good. But I like her costume, like the design of that. Clark, I like the boots. Yeah, what's interesting too, during the boots,
what the fuck? I love those. I need more of that.
These are very nice boots. During this time, it's also during the Vietnam War, I believe. They don't call it that directly, but there's a whole scene with Batman and Superman in the president's office, and he's like, why don't you guys do something to stop this war? And he's like, you guys started this war, and we are not intervening in the war that you guys got yourselves into, type of thing. And also, like, in World War II, we intervened because it was so clear who the bad guys were in this. Now the politics are so muddied, we are not going to be judge and jury on this. That was an interesting kind of, like, it's burns both sides in kind of Vietnam in a way, but it's also like acknowledging that superheroes would have some kind of impact on these wars.
Yeah.
You learn that Bruce Jr. is drafted, even though Bruce tries to get him not drafted because he's like, I'm rich, I can kind of pull those strings. And Bruce Jr. is like, no, I'll go overseas, do my duty, and then come back and be Batman, and I'll flop back and forth. Don't worry about it. And you learn that Clark and Lois had a son too. They had a son also, like, but he didn't get any powers, and he's also over in Vietnam, but he's kind of one of those Vietnam soldiers who is bad, who's kind of a piece of garbage over there. And he ends up getting supposedly killed. They learn that later. Bruce, now in his old age, very old age, goes to find Ra's al Ghul, or Ra's al Ghul, depending on how you want to pronounce it, and fights him in the Lazarus pit, and has like one big battle with them in there to see who would like survive. I like how old and buff Bruce looks though in that image.
Yeah, he did not skip any of the workouts.
Yeah.
He's a ridiculously buff old man.
So what happens is at the wedding of Bruce Jr. and I want to say it's Lana. I think they still named his daughter Lana after his childhood friend, Lana Lane, or Lana Kent, I guess, because Clark Kent. Lex shows up and murders, not only supposedly tries to fight with Superwoman, but murders Lois, who's wheelchair bound because she's had cancer from smoking so much. It's very dark, but he just straight up strangles Lois Lane in front of Clark. Clark can't do anything. Then you learn that the guy who's in the armor pretending to be Lex is actually Lana's brother, who didn't die in Vietnam but got rescued by a Vietnamese woman there, and Lex found them and basically like poisoned his brain, saying like, hey, you didn't get the superpowers, your sister did, look how much they hate you because you have no superpowers. And he ends up killing his sister, right? And but they learn that he had a kid. They both like kill each other the way they fight, and Superman's very distraught over all this, and Bruce Jr. is like, don't worry about it, we both lost very important people in our lives, but this child is alive, maybe we can have a better tomorrow with this kid being here. Now this is a very depressing thought.
It's a depressing thought while I'm just like half reading this page while listening, and I forget how silly comic writing is.
Yeah.
I heard everything Luthor and Joel said. Heard it with my super hearing.
Yeah.
We know who you are, Superman.
Yeah. You then find out Luthor has been like pulling strings to have Jimmy Olsen killed, Jimmy's wife killed, Perry White's son killed. Anybody that like mattered to Clark, he's pulled strings to have them die in some horrific way. And damn. Also expose Clark to gold kryptonite, so slowly taking away his powers. So Clark ends up accidentally killing Lex inadvertently, and the only reason Lex is still alive after being so old is he like got his brain transferred to a robot body, of course, because comics. Course. So Superman gets put on trial because he's like, I made a mistake. But what's cool is in this shot too, you see Bruce Jr.'s new high-tech bat suit because it's a little further in the future now, and I love that gosh. Like armored bat suit.
I like that they kept the blue cape.
Yeah. For punishment though, because Superman's done so much good, they just put him in the Phantom Zone, and they say, hey, we're gonna put you in the Phantom Zone for 10 years. That's your punishment. I hope you survive it. Because do you know what the Phantom Zone is?
Vaguely, it's like a Kryptonian prison dimension.
Yeah, so basically every major Kryptonian that either was put in prison before Krypton exploded or Superman's put in there since, they're all hanging out in there. So they're like, if you can survive being 10 years in the Phantom Zone with all the people you put away, you're good. You can come out.
Damn.
So they put him in the Phantom Zone. Bruce Jr. then goes to basically where Ra's al Ghul is to find out like what's going on there, to take down finally one of his dad's like biggest villains, and learns that the head of the League of Assassins is actually now his father, who defeated Ra's in that Lazarus pit battle and has like now become immortal because he spent too much time in the Lazarus pit. So he is, Bruce Wayne is now young again and slowly aging, and he's turned the League of Assassins into like a criminal fighting organization.
good shit. Oh my god, the close up on that new bat suit
is dope.
God, why does this have to be an Elseworld?
Yeah, I know. I'll go in more about why I love this one so much once we're done kind of recapping it. But what Bruce talks to his son about the most is like, you know what I miss though? I miss more than anything. And he's like, what? I'll do whatever. He's like, can I be Batman again? Do you mind if I just take over? So Bruce Hell is now Batman in this really dope gray and black suit. Then Superman finally gets released from his Phantom Zone prison. And together they're like, hey, I know of the serum that we developed for superpowers that maybe can reverse the gold kryptonite thing and give you your powers back. They do a bunch of superhero shenanigans, get him his powers back. And then it jumps to like, I think it said 2919. So 2919. So way in the future after that. And you see this image of them both older. Superman's now actually great, like white haired because he's old. And it, you learn that the Lazarus effect. I've
definitely seen these panels.
Yeah. Bruce is aging about 1 year of actual age every, I think, 100 years, he says. So like he's slowly aging too. But my least favorite thing about this series is they use the last issue to go back into the past and tell like a childhood Bruce and childhood Clark story instead of actually exploring this last era. And a lot of times it's just goofy, like in the child, I didn't take any screenshots, but in the child version that they talk about in this issue, for some reason Bruce has a Robin costume. Like, they don't explain why he has a Robin costume, so Bruce is the original Robin for some reason. It's weird.
That is weird.
But I do like this little final dialogue. He's like, hey, we're the last ones alive. Isn't it kind of weird that we lived through all this? Like, we've seen these heroes rise and fall and everything. It's just, we're like, nah, the last two. And I think that's a very interesting way, like, to wrap around this kind of idea of these heroes actually aging.
Yeah.
What's cool about the second and the third series, I've not finished the third series just because I've been getting it in single issues when I find them in the wild, but they explore the other characters way more and they show more heroes and their generations and things like that. The cover of Generations 2 kind of showcases this more. So let me find it. You can see in the cover of that one, like, there's way more heroes that they actually like dive into instead of Batman and Superman. And I think that makes it even more fun than the first series. So you can get even like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. So you get to see like their kind of genealogy. And then in the third one,
the Batmobiles in the bottom.
Yeah.
That really old one where it's just a wing on a normal looking car.
And then the third one's, it will be interesting when I actually read through it because it is decades based. So like you only get one issue for each decade or no, each 100 years. That's what it was. So it'd be interesting to see how it all kind of turns around. I think this is interesting as a Elseworlds though, because it's something I kind of want in comics now, which is like a line of books that let these heroes age normally.
Yeah.
I think there's a hesitation in comics to not let your characters grow up. That's the issue with like Spider-Man, is like he can't be married because if he's married no one relates to him. But it's a poor writer who can't make that interesting.
Yeah, they become too monolithic in how people view them, which is just as much a fault of the publishers as anything, obviously. But it's think Batman, you don't think of Batman Beyond most of the time.
Yeah, and I like, at least for DC, as many issues as they have letting their characters kind of legacy out, they've at least give Batman and Superman to have a child now. Superman has a son who's old or older, and Batman has Damian who's about 14, I think now, 14, 15 in comics. And at least gives them the dynamic of let them age, but they don't actually explore those things or give them much thought other than, hey, these characters have kids now, one of them's married now, that kind of thing.
Do you agree that maybe Batman especially gets this hard because of how big he is? Because like even in the comics and even in some of the panels you've shown me, is like a genuinely happy Batman. But when have we ever seen that in like mainstream media? A genuinely happy Batman.
I think there is there's a weird thing, is like, if Batman's happy, then his quest doesn't make sense anymore. But and like the movie, the Batman, the Robert Pattinson one, kind of proves this, like, vengeance shouldn't be the main driving force behind that quest. So at some point it's okay for him to be happy, because it's not about vengeance, it's just about justice. So he could still do it and be happy. It's really weird. That's the whole thing, like, why him and Catwoman didn't get married. And she's like, if we get married, we both can't be the people we are. And I'm like, that's not how adults function. That's not how we do this.
Yeah, I think Batman, especially to get to the core of who he is, needs to have happiness in his life.
Yeah. And to make the character grow.
Yeah, if you don't have a Batman who's happy, you end up with, what the fuck's his name, Owlman? Like, that's the end result of a Batman who's not happy. At least some of the time.
Yeah.
Because if he truly thinks that it's like, oh, I can't be happy, then what are you fighting for?
Yeah, I think for me is, if I've pitched this before, but like, one of the things I wish, like, if I was like publisher of DC or something, but even Marvel could do this too, is like, I would let the writer dictate where they want to tell their story and when, and that's kind of how we would work with canon. So like, if you're picking up this Batman run on the corner, it'll say like 20th century or something, like it would have some indicator of when the story is taking place, so the writer can have the freedom to tell a Batman story back in the past when he first premiered, or tell a modern story with the new characters and someone else under the cowl. Like, it doesn't have to be the main line of books, but I think it would be an interesting line of books.
Yeah. Do you think at all, and this is getting even more off topic, this has now just become a, do you think is a problem, that the modern kind of viewing experience of like, oh, everything needs to make sense in continuity is hindering some of these stories being told?
Yeah, I think so. I think continuity should be a path, not a law in some ways. I think Mark Waid's whole thing introducing hypertime is really cool. Hypertime is a concept of what's canon is what matters at the moment. So things can come in and out of canon in very fluid ways, and you don't really have to ever address it unless it's like a major continuity error for like a character who, last time we saw them 2 months ago, was dead, now they're alive. You probably should explain that. But what happened in the 70s, does it influence what happens now? Not really. You can kind of pick and choose that stuff. I think my favorite use of this kind of thing is Batman and Catwoman's first meeting has been retooled twice. Oh, retooled a few times, but within main canon retooled, I think, twice. Once was back when she first got introduced, they were on a boat and he was trying to stop a jewel thief, and then in Batman Year One she was a sex worker, and they fought on the street. And so when they did this really sweet like pre-engagement issue in 2017-ish, they argued about it. He said, we met on, Bruce is saying, hey, we met on the boat, that's when I first saw you. She's like, no, we met on the street. And like, they have that back and forth because both are still technically canon.
That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah. So I think it should always be up to the writer of whoever's doing it, or the creator, whoever's making it, because some creators are both writers and artists. But it should never be a shackle. It should be an influence. It should be something that inspires you to write what you want to write.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Like, I think some of the best comic stories I've ever seen, which I haven't read many of the comics specifically, but things like Batman Year One, which retell a lot of the story, is like, they need to be able to just be a standalone thing that works with a lot of, I think that's what makes ADHD brain, I think that's what makes DC so good for comics specifically, is that their idea of a superhero is very much that they are an idea, they're an ideal, and you don't really need to think too hard about them.
Yeah. I think this is, like most metaphors, it can be really easy to like break down and make it not apparent anymore. But someone once pointed out, like, DC's the pantheon, the Mount Olympus of characters, where Marvel's very much, hey, this is regular Joe on the street who finally got powers, and now you have to deal with that. And I think that's sometimes the case, but that doesn't stop them from being, like, compelling and regular. This might be a future episode, but there's a Justice League story arc that I really like. Let me find out what it's called. Oh yeah, it's Painted the Gods. So this is we'll go into more depth of this run at some point, but it's JLA issue 101 through 106, came out in 2004, and each one is not specifically the team of the Justice League's together, right? Like, it's actually individual issues about each character, and it's them being kind of brought to a human level trying to deal with a crisis that is weirdly like out of the like their purview. This is just the synopsis from Wikipedia. So they may be the world's greatest heroes, Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Martian Manhunter, Wonder Woman, and the Flash, but painful experience has taught them what that means to fail. When Superman's actions cause the death of a rookie superhero, his grief and anger force each member of the Justice League to examine their darkest hour, the time when their world-shattering powers just wasn't enough. From Flash being touched by tragedy in a burning tenement block to Wonder Woman facing the prospect of death, JLA, Pain of the Gods, exposes the human side of the superheroes. The issue that really sticks with me is the Green Lantern one, which John Stewart, where he can't stop a wife beater from ending up killing his wife. And he almost kills the guy in the process, as if I remember correctly. And like, it's that kind of stuff that this arc deals with. And it brings these Pantheon characters back down to like the real world for a minute.
It sounds good.
Yeah. It's not a cheerful, story arc, but it is one of those ones where it's like, this is a good comics to me. It's like when you can pull this stuff off.
Yeah.
There's like really great Spider-Man ones that do that.
I recently got into a series of video essays, which I can't remember who makes them now. I am sorry. But they made a really good point of like, at least DC, I don't watch as much Marvel shit because I'm just over Marvel. Like, DC characters can have those like dark moments and be brought down very far, but at the end of the day, they still need to represent what they represent, and that is especially needed. You can't just make Superman this edgy, dark kind of character and it still be Superman. Superman kind of needs to be a hippie. I think almost all superheroes kind of need to be a hippie, because you can't fight for this like justice in its purest form of, you can't fight for this hope without being this hippie, want an ideal world kind of person.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes a lot of these stories great, especially right now. With a world how it is right now, where hope is kind of teetering. People are being disillusioned every day. And I think that's part of what makes me really want to get into comics right now. Because Superman, Batman, the entirety of the Justice League have that. They represent the things that we're kind of letting slip right now. Not to get too serious on our stupid comic book podcast, but it has been very fun looking it back into these characters that I've kind of been like, whatever about.
Yeah, I think that's like when comics are popcorn in the sense of some art, but when they're good, they're so good that you're like, oh, it's like it's like comic movies, but it's like a lot of those like when an action movie hits in a certain way, you're like, oh gosh, like this is actually like a very good comic. Like people talk about Rambo, the series. It gets really silly after the first one, but that first one's all about PTSD from soldiers coming back from Vietnam and how he treated them. Like,
yeah,
it you can use these things to really paint a deep and interesting picture, and it reaches a wider audience because it's in the disguise of a comic or an action movie or something.
Yeah, I think some of the most poignant moments in all of comics history are the moments where Superman just like talks to a kid.
Yeah.
And it's like the shit like that, like the moment where like, I don't remember where exactly it's from, but it sticks out of my brain so much because it's such a good moment to me of like a kid saying, oh, hey, your costume's really cool, to Superman. He's like, thanks, my mom made it. And yeah. So like that is definitely going to impact that kid so much in such a good direction. Just that one little line talking to that kid.
Oh gosh,
and it's like I feel like Superman doesn't have that in the modern era to actual kids anymore, and it's really sad because God,
yeah,
it can be so good when it's good. They just don't make it good very much.
I believe this is in a Chip Zdarsky Batman comic. I could be wrong who the writer is, but there's a scene where like a kid is terrified, and Batman always prepared. It's like, hey, I have this piece. I have a lollipop for you. Now are you scared? Like he is prepared. He has that.
Love ready. That. That's yeah. Something you would not see in the movies right now.
Yeah. And there's a great scene in one of the more recent Nightwing books where like a kid wants to hang out with Nightwing because he's like, I have you on my pencil case. Like that's so cool that you're right in front of me now.
Yeah.
So
like people mythologize a smiling Batman as like almost impossible, but it's moments like this, and especially in the animated series, where it's just like a part of him. He's doing what he does so that nobody has to go through what he's gone through. And it's like, oh, he's not doing it because he's hurt. He's doing it because he has that hope. He has that love for humanity.
Yeah, I think that when you're writing superhero comics, yes, the challenge of like escalating threat is part of it. But I think the biggest part of it is the real interesting parts are when these characters have to make human decisions.
Yeah.
People are like, Superman's too powerful. How can you write a Superman story? Well, like write about his humanity. That's how you write a Superman story. Like challenge that.
And even that, if you wanted to do a not super deep story about Superman, write a story that exemplifies things you can also do.
Yeah.
Like, sure, you can't punch through the building, but you can act as a Superman in a daily activity of like, he exemplifies certain traits. It's not that you can't lift a building, it's that you're going to be there to help somebody. And that's what the basis of what he does, is he's just there to help. He just can help in the way of holding buildings.
Yep. Ashley, I think we talked a lot just about like why super characters are cool, and somewhat about why Superman Batman Generations is a cool book because it lets these characters progress through life and lets the audience kind of figure out what that looks like. What do you want to talk about in the next episode? What do you want to learn about in the next episode?
What do I want to learn about in the next episode?
Are we hanging on DC? Are we going on independent? Are we taking a peek at Marvel?
I want to keep away from Marvel. I think Marvel has enough right now. I think people and me are tired of Marvel. What is a very good independent comic that you know of?
What should we talk about independent comic-wise? We should do something.
No, what? Wait, I have one right behind me that I've been meaning to read and maybe doing an episode. It's literally on the bottom of a stack of books. I feel so bad. Radiant Black, Volume 1.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we can talk about Radiant Black. We can kind of talk about the Power Rangers of independent comics right now.
All right. I don't know anything about Radiant Black other than I saw it at the Barnes & Noble, and the cover is really cool looking.
Yeah, I think Radiant Black's a really cool concept. Volume 1 covers 1 through 6, so we'll just talk about issues 1 through 6.
All right.
Not go deeper. Cool. Ashley, where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, everyone can find me at mrsashley.gay, M-I-S-S-U-S, ashley.gay, and that's L-E-Y. You can find my Blue Sky Twitter, if I ever use it. Everything there. Where can people find you?
People can find me mostly everywhere at Sleeper of the Bed. And I want to thank our friend Roma, who did the artwork for this show. You can find Roma
so good
at the Hyperfixation podcast and on Twitter at I Appreciate Your Butt. Like, they are one of the coolest people on the internet.
And it's their birthday today as we record
this. Oh, it is their birthday today. They were recording this March 3rd. Gonna date it right now. It'll probably come out in April, but
yeah, how dare we date our comic book podcast where we talk about news months after it actually happened.
To end this show, I'll just say, like, keep reading comics. Rent, go to your local library and check out their comic section. That's actually how I read a lot of comics growing up. So
yeah, if your local library doesn't have a comic that you want, most libraries have a digital service as well now. And two, you could just ask them to get it.
Yeah. And three, you can sail the high seas. Like, that is stuff. There's stuff there that you can read that you'll never be able to read because they will never republish it.
Yeah.
So there's that.
It's not stealing if they're not selling it.
I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm just saying that's there.
Piracy is always an option, an illegal option, but it is an option, just like cocaine.
You wouldn't download a car, but you wish you could.
Anyway, I think that's it for the show.
Yeah, I think that's how we can end it.